Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I hope your week was great. We're going to talk about several things tonight, starting with globalism. We're going to talk a little bit about Trump and Hillary, the WikiLeaks release on Hillary's public and private statements. Very interesting. Trump's rather lascivious and lewd, shall we say, guy talk, not knowing he was being overheard a decade or so ago, and the upcoming debate. And we're going to talk about globalism, kind of the first, we'll call it Globalism 101. I'm going to acquaint you with the big picture of globalism. Because this election, by the way, all these topics are tied in. They are all interwoven. Because globalism, folks, is really what's on the election plate in November. It's not right versus left. I've said this before. It's not conservative versus liberal. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's not even red state versus blue state, although that comes closer. It is really national sovereignty versus globalism. The loss of national identity. The melding of global government. And it's something that you need to know. We're going to get into more detail in the coming weeks. But I think you'll find tonight's overview extremely, or today's overview, extremely interesting. And then we're going to finish up by talking about voter fraud. Because voter fraud is rampant. And we are learning now that illegal aliens are in fact registering to vote and voting, including early voting, which ties in with the Hillary campaign to get out early votes. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. That also ties into globalism, because in globalism you have to have central power in a country to be able to transfer the power of the country to the centralized global government. Anyway, before we get started, I want to tell all my listeners down there in the Southeast, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, and I know I have quite a few of you, be safe. I hope that you escape with a minimum of disruption to your life from the hurricane, a minimum of property damage, certainly no physical injury whatsoever. And I hope you're smart. And for those of you who have been listening to this show for many years, I'm assuming you are well prepared for what's going on down there. However, no matter how well prepared you are, no matter how much food you have in your emergency food stock, water in your emergency water supply, fuel, generators, all the things you need in the event of a catastrophe, it will not help you with a 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 foot storm surge. That is literally a not-so-slow-moving mass of water that the best preparations in the world will not save you from. So hopefully you have found a safe place, or you are on high, dry ground, or at least as dry as you can be with 15 inches of rain, and you are hunkered down and weathering out the storm just fine. And for those of you who are on the coasts, I hope you got your butts out of there, and if you didn't get your butts out of there, I hope you have taken every precaution, and you are prepared to go to your second floor or third floor or attic or whatever you have to do in case the conditions get really roily. So stay safe, all you folks in the Southeast. Okay, let's get started. Oh, I was going to tell you one other thing too, folks. So, you know, I told you about my little pond mishap. Dumb A. blank blank me, dumbass me, getting sucked into the siphon and having to get pulled out by the seven great first responders about an hour later, and down to the hospital and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, the suction on my left leg from that siphon, which this idiot managed to get sucked into, knowing better, and seven guys pulling on me from the other side, it puts stress on even this superhuman physique, this Superman of a body, this human that only kryptonite can hurt. Of course, don't, gag me. Anyway, the stress that it put on me resulted in a double trauma hernia, which was quite uncomfortable. And I had those hernias, there's no sense doing this twice, might as well do it once. Had them both taken care of at the same time about a week and a half ago. And I'm well on the mend. Thank you for those of you who sent emails, many of you. I don't know how you heard about it, but I guess the world's a small place. Must be globalism. And I'm doing just fine, and I plan to be doing some elk hunting in a week, perhaps a little in advance of the normal recovery curve, but I will have come-alongs to turn the critter over. I can't laugh too much right now because that hurts. So anyway, thank you all for your best wishes. I'm doing just fine, and all is good. Let's start today's show, shall we? First of all, what is globalism? Globalism is the opposite of national sovereignty. Globalism is the opposite of America as we know it, or any other sovereign nation on the planet. Globalism is where basically everybody is thrown into the big pot of the planet. There are really no more quote-unquote Americans or Frenchmen or Nigerians or Syrians or whatever. We are all just, inhabitants of the earth, citizens of the planet. And you've heard those phrases. You've heard other phrases, too. They're kind of like the warning signs of a globalism or globalistic discussion. Or, should we say, a globalistic political rant. Or a subversive meme that globalists and elitists at the highest levels of almost every country, unfortunately now, send out to rally you to the global cause, because it's for your safety, and it's for your health, and it's for your welfare, and it's social justice, and it's all these wonderful things. Well, some of the catchwords on this is just like Agenda 21, which, by the way, is a globalist approach to property, private property around the planet. And for those of you who haven't listened to it, one of my great interviews with George Noory, I was on his show, Coast to Coast, is right up here on the front page of the website. For those of you who are listening on AM, you can go to the website, www.ontherightsideradio.com. Listen to that. That'll fill you in on Agenda 21. It's just one of the global tentacles that come out of that global organization, the United Nations. For globalism to really take root, and by the way, it has taken root, for globalism's roots to spread into the flowering tree of the global community, which is what our elitist leaders want, and their corporate masters want, some things have to change, folks. You remember Barack Obama talking about transformation and change? Well, this is part of what he meant. In his particular case, of course, there are other things involved. Reparations, retribution, redistribution. Globalism, by the way, is about redistribution, too. I'll tell you more about that. But for globalism to really flower into its full tree of Kumbaya. For the nation states of the earth to pretty much go away and become simply a global society under global governance, a number of things have to be radically changed. First, language. And I don't mean just language as in Spanish or French or Swahili or English. That's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, if you don't think when you call a certain business or a certain utility or a certain tech giant, and you hear a prompt in English and then you hear the same prompt in Spanish, if you don't think that's part of globalism, you're flat crazy. It is part of globalism. It is the blending. It is the softening of a predominant language, which is part of the foundation of a nation state, and softening it with languages from other places. As a part of language is the control of words. We've talked about this in the past. So, you know, you hear from some quarters words don't matter. You hear from other quarters words do matter. Let me tell you that words matter a lot. That is why the globalists and the progressives and some unwitting liberals have this PC speech culture. Because if they can control what you say or how you say it, they can control how you think about it. They can control how you communicate about it. They can control the perceptions of your listeners and their listeners. And therefore, they can control thought. It's really that simple. You know, last week's show, and I hope you listened to it, it was about the first debate and all the opportunities that Trump missed, which hopefully he will not miss in this upcoming debate, despite his rocky week. I talked a little bit about this. And it's generally acknowledged that if you are in a war, if the enemy defines what words you describe them, you've already lost the war. Perhaps that explains why Barack Obama won't say the words radical Islam, radical jihad, but I digress. The second thing that must be controlled by the globalists to achieve their global ideology, their global wish, is culture. Culture. And how do you break down culture? Well, you break down culture, of course, once again, through controlling speech, since that controls thought, and that controls perception, etc. But you also control culture by diluting a culture. The open borders that Barack Obama illegally and unconstitutionally promotes and lies about constantly, and that Hillary Clinton supports wholeheartedly, not in public, but in private in her speeches to Wall Street. We're going to be getting into that tonight. That was just released yesterday, on Friday, by WikiLeaks. Has a twofold goal, if you will. It's a twofold objective to the same goal, the goal of globalism. One objective of open borders is to blend and dilute the American culture or the culture of any country. See what's happening in Europe with the influx of the refugee crisis, which is purposeful. Let me emphasize this. The refugee crisis in the Mideast was purposefully created to dilute the culture of the Western world. Period. There have been all sorts of things which have come out in hacks and releases, including by WikiLeaks, of George Soros emails. The multi-billionaire who supports progressive causes is a communist himself, and a bunch of other even lower forms of life. And the hundreds of millions of dollars he has pumped into fomenting the refugee crisis. Every step, misstep, and lack of step that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have made in the Mideast have been purposely designed to create the refugee crisis. And the refugee crisis has been manufactured at the expense of 500,000 lives of men, women, and children to dilute Western society with different cultures. That's why Hillary Clinton wants to. That's why Barack Obama wants to bring in 100,000 Mideast refugees, and that is why Hillary Clinton wants to increase that by 550%. That is why Andrea Merkel, a huge globalist, has allowed 1.5 million Muslims into her country, Germany, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. Virtually no country is immune. Particularly countries, by the way, run by ardent globalists, which are most of them. Part of changing a culture is education. The progressives knew this 40 years ago. Us conservatives and moderates, we've been slow on the switch. We haven't realized the poison, the nonsense, the revisionist history, the undermining of culture and values which has been going on in the educational system to which we have sent our kids, oftentimes at great expense, until now, just in the last few years. And only because of the overreach by the federal government in the enforcement of Common Core, which in and of itself is a global concept. There are no localities. There are no local moors or customs. It's all the customs of the country which are all the customs of the world. Education plays a huge role in this. And it's there, by the way, is one of the places that we must stop. We must start to stop globalism. I mean, the generation that has been brought up, the millennials, probably 70% of them are lost for now. They're in the grip of this globalistic social justice PC ideology that has been drilled into their brains since the time they were in kindergarten, right under our noses while we were asleep at the switch. Some of them, 30%, of course, there's been no effect because of strong upbringing at home, strong values at home, whatever the reasons. Independent minds on their own part that can decipher, 2 + 2 = 4, not 5. So, one of the places that we can defeat globalism in the long term is by changing the education system, which, of course, Trump wants to do, and Hillary, of course, does not want to do. Then we have economy and trade. Once again, NAFTA. Bill Clinton is a huge globalist. Hillary Clinton is even more of a globalist. Barack Obama is the ultimate globalist. That is why Bill Clinton signed NAFTA. Oh, sure, we were fed this line of crap that's good for our country and it'll increase exports and blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. If you want America assimilated into the global community, folks, if you want America to be just another seat at the table rather than the throne at the head of the table, rather than an independent thinking, self-sustaining, sovereign nation with its values and its customs intact as envisioned by the founders, you must weaken America. Its language, its culture, and its economy. You must redistribute some of America's wealth, make it poorer, to other countries. And you can do that through trade. We have seen it with China. We have seen it with NAFTA. We see it every time a new plant opens in Mexico. The latest is going to be Ford. And there's Carrier air conditioning. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You speed that process, of course, by having the highest corporate tax rate in the world. So that despite all the other advantages which will take the globalists a long time to erase from the American scene, you can get down to the nitty-gritty of financial advantage. You want to go to Mexico where the taxes are 17%, or Ireland where the taxes are 13%, or do you want to stay in America where the taxes are 35%? So and then it's sold as a bill of goods because, gee, the rich are paying more than blah, 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 and it's, you know, you pay your fair share. You've heard all the crap. That's just a mask for the real agenda. And the real agenda is to dumb down America. Dumb down its trade, dumb down its language, dumb down its culture, dumb down its values, dumb down its economy, dumb down its military. Because as you lower America in all these various stages, you make it more easily assimilated into the world culture. And of course, there's that social justice too. That wealthy America, you know, we have to give back. Do you really think that all this hue and cry about energy, do you really think that with our resources we can't be fully energy independent? Just on fossil fuels, never mind adding in solar and wind power and hydropower and all sorts of other things, nuclear power. Of course we can. But if we're totally independent, we're not spending $500 billion a year, we're not shipping $500 billion a year out to poorer countries and poorer areas. Do you understand the redistributive intent of the elites who run this government, the globalists, not allowing us, standing in the way of actively undermining our energy independence? It ain't about the environment, folks. Global warming? Why do you think they call it global warming? Now, climate change, global climate change. Because it's one more way that they can control thought. It's one more way that they can tie the earth together. It's one more way they can weaken America. This week, Barack Obama was crowing again about the Paris Accords and blah, 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 blah. And the United Nations Climate Treaty, which actually got, well, it got passed by the United Nations. Obama, because he knows that he can't get it passed in the Senate, even though the Constitution requires a majority of the Senate to approve any treaty. And if you want to know what a treaty is defined as, just look in Webster's. It's an agreement between two nation states, two or more nation states. So even though this is obviously a treaty, he's calling it an executive agreement. It's the same thing he did with Iran. And of course, our Congress lets him get away with it. And if you think Hillary Clinton's going to be better, you are nuts. She's going to be worse. He simply built the platform that she can run and dive and jive from. Global warming, global climate change, not only being a means to an end psychologically and emotionally and socially for globalists, it is also a way to influence this entire generation that's grown up in the education system that's been teaching them globalism is good, sovereignty is bad. It's a way to keep them interested. You know, there's many millennials, even my son, who's a hardworking, certainly very right-of-center thinker, is a big believer in climate change. He doesn't want to hear about all the cookbooks at Oxford University. He doesn't want to know about the fact that, as an example. So all the experts are now saying that we're in for a mega drought, a super mega drought in the American Southwest, that the temperature is going to rise 6 degrees, that it's going to be baked earth in Southern California and Arizona and parts of New Mexico, maybe even parts of Colorado, Arizona. Well, as they describe that, and I'm not kidding, you can Google it up and read the articles yourself, they talk about the fact that the Mesa Verde cliff dwellers and the Anastasi were driven out 1,000 or so years ago of this area by mega droughts. And they talk about how the population down there is going to be driven out by this mega drought unless we get this global climate change under control. Excuse me. Let's examine the logic of what these morons wrote. So 1,000 years ago, before fossil fuels, cars, hydrocarbons, blah, 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 CO2 emissions, all this BS that's been contrived to control your life and to move us toward globalism and to weaken the American fabric so it can be intertwined with the fabric of the world. 1,000 years ago, these two great civilizations of their time, were forced to move by a mega drought. Huh. Let me think about this. Ah, wow. It must have been maybe dinosaur farts. Yes, that must be what it was. It was dinosaur farts. Oh, no, wait a minute. The dinosaurs came a million years before that, and they got wiped out by this global warming thing, too. Huh. You know, it's very confusing, isn't it? The bottom line is BS. The climate is changing. Guess what? The climate will always be changing. And man's effect on the climate is infinitesimal. Infinitesimal. That doesn't mean that where you can clean things up, you shouldn't. You should. That doesn't mean that where we can economically, without ruining people's quality of life, and without destroying American values or undermining American rights, that doesn't mean we shouldn't implement policies and procedures which will go towards that end. But folks, we're way over that. Have you looked at the price of a new car lately? I want you to know that a one-ton diesel Ford pickup is about $70,000. $70,000 for a pickup truck. And I want you to know that $17,000, give or take a few hundred, of that cost is EPA BS regulations concerning the myth of global climate change. Now, just how much money are you willing to spend to save yourself one half of a degree centigrade over the next 100 years? Particularly given that over the course of the Earth's history, you want to talk globalism? Let's talk globalism. We have had ice ages and periods of higher than normal heat hundreds, if not thousands of times. And it doesn't have a damn thing to do with fossil fuels or diesel pickup trucks. I kind of got off on a side rant there, but you understand what I'm saying. Global climate change is a means to control both votes in the terms of millennials, who are petrified that they won't be alive in 65 years because the world's coming to an end. That's what they've been taught. Because their culture has been altered, because education has been altered. This is all part of the strategy of the globalists. And it ties into the election process because it's how they control what lever people pull when they go into the ballot box. Because the globalists, i.e. the progressives, i.e. the elites, have to stay in power to accomplish their end. And if they accomplish their end, they will remain in power. Do you understand how the circle works? The circle jerk, I might add. We're the jerks. They're the circle. The next thing that has to be controlled in a global society is finance and currency. Now, I have talked to you before. You can dial up in the search bar, War on Cash. But all across the planet now, the globalists are trying to eliminate cash. You know why? Because they can't control cash. And if they can't control cash, they can't control your finances. And if they can't control your finances, they can't control you. It's kind of like that PC speech. Look, to implement globalism, power in every sovereign state, whatever remains of it, must be centralized. That's why the push for more and more power by the federal government. Because once that power is fully centralized in the federal government of each country, it is far easier for the elites who control that centralized power to meld it with the elites of the other countries into global centralization. That's why they want to take the guns of Americans away. That's why I often say that the 150, 160, whatever it is, million armed Americans are not the last bulwark against tyranny in America. We are the last bulwark against tyranny globally. You know those ads that the NRA has, which I think, by the way, are terrific? We are freedom's safest place. It's not just freedom, United States. It's freedom, planetary. And the globalists know it. Witness the recently passed UN Small Arms Treaty, which I flat guarantee you will be used by progressives, including Hillary Clinton if she's unfortunately elected, as one of the levers to take away your Second Amendment rights and your weapons. Because if you got your cash in the mattress, you got your food in the pantry, you got your guns and your ammo, you're a problem, folks. You are an enemy of the globalist state. You are an enemy of the globalist state. And in addition, once you have eliminated cash, there's actual talk of eliminating $100 bills in the United States. There's actually talk of eliminating $50 bills so that only $20 bills are left in our currency. Why? Because obviously, if you're transporting or storing cash, it takes a hell of a lot more room, five times as much, in fact, to store $100 in the form of five $20 bills than it does in one $100 bill. In addition, cash transactions can't be tracked for the purposes of taxation. And if you think taxes are high now, you wait and see what happens if we get another 4 or 8 years of progressive globalist rule. You ain't seen nothing yet, Jack. Once you have controlled currency, you need to control finance to convert the world of sovereign nations into the planetary government. That process has been underway for, well, actually, unwittingly, I think, it's been underway since FDR, way back in the 1930s, 40s, outlawed private ownership of gold. It was accelerated when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, when our currency was no longer backed by gold, which allowed the Federal Reserve to print money, paper money, which they now want to remove, paper money indiscriminately, because it was tied to nothing. You know, one of the ways you get rid of a currency, whether it's the dollar, or the renminbi, or whatever it is you print too many of them so that each one is worth less. We call that inflation. Remember, and I've said this many times in the show, inflation is not the increase in the value or cost of goods and services. It is the decrease in value of the purchasing agent. And the more you can devalue the purchasing agent, the more you weaken the cultural, educational, economic, and finance, shall we say, rivets of a country. And the more susceptible it is for indoctrination, for its melding with global society, and the less faith its citizens have in its currency. It all ties in. I mean, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a well thought out, brilliantly executed, completely devious, and absolutely totalitarian march under the strict guidance, watchful eyes, and long-term planning of the global and progressive elite. As a little history, some theorists, some economists, some historians believe that globalism could have started as far back as the Greek Empire, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Others believe it started with the Roman Empire 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. But I will tell you to vault it forward to modern times, because I'm not completely sure that those those nation-states weren't strictly conquering nation-states, not globalist nation-states. It definitely began with Woodrow Wilson, our first progressive president. You know, the guy who instituted the income tax. The 14th Amendment. And the guy who instituted what? What global organization? Come on, you history guys, history gals. The League of Nations. He used World War I as a stepping stone toward the globalization he wanted. And the League of Nations was the spawn of his desires. Now, back in those days, globalization was really driven, believe it or not, by America. And was driven by America in that Americans, the upper echelons of Americans, wanted American values and cultures to be the global norm. In other words, globalism was America. Everybody, we had to control the economy, the military, the everything of the planet. And the planet would slowly be not assimilated into America, but assimilated into America speak, America mind, America values, America economics. It's ironic that modern-day globalism really birthed in America. And it birthed in a weird way, in the concept of American supremacy in the world. Now, the League of Nations failed. And I'm going to jump forward. We can go through many, many different things, World War II, all sorts of things there. But let me bring you to the Gulf War. George Bush Sr. You know, the president before Bill Clinton. The Gulf War, folks, was the beginnings of modern, very modern, globalism. They used the military alliance of many nations in the first Gulf War against Saddam, in the liberation of Kuwait, and everybody can debate whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not talking about whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. I'm talking about that war was used as a stepping stone by George Bush Sr. toward globalism. George Bush Sr. is a globalist. Now, he was a globalist in the sense that he wanted America's supremacy to be the global norm. But it was the Gulf War, which kind of got us to where we are now. Because that spawned the meetings of all the nations in 1993, kind of the first climate deal, the first Agenda 21 deal, all those things that have grown exponentially to what we are hearing about in the current times. For those of you who are shaking their head going, this guy is nuts and he doesn't know his history and all this, blah, 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 let me tell you that one of George Bush Sr.'s favorite phrases was New World Order. New World Order. And, you know, there's many people out there now, particularly those involved in the New World Order, who poo-poo this and call it a conspiracy theory and this and that. It's anything but. It is just the facts, Jack. In one speech after the war, when he was kind of praising the alliance, this global alliance, he used the words New World Order 42 times in one speech. You can Google it up. You can listen to it for yourself. That's not an accident, folks. Bill Clinton brought it a step forward. He signed NAFTA, which gets into economy and trade. The next thing that globalists must control to create a global structure and a global society. NAFTA was a disaster for the United States, and it was supposed to be. Despite all the BS that we were fed about how wonderful it would be for us. That is why Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, until she changed her mind in public, but not in private, we'll get into that here shortly, is so gung-ho over the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, kind of the NAFTA of the Pacific, but, you know, with many more nations and much more subjugation of American sovereignty. I mean, the other nations can basically tell America what to do under this treaty. And that is why globalists wring their hands and under the guise of quote-unquote free trade promote all these trade deals. Listen, trade is great. But trade is great when it's fair. So if I send a dollar worth of stuff to you, I get a dollar worth of stuff in return. Unfortunately, these trade deals, because they're meant to weaken the fabric and the economy and the backbone of America and the American people so that we are more easily assimilated into the global community, these trade deals were designed to do the opposite, and they have done just that. Donald Trump is right. We have an $800 billion, give or take $50 billion in a particular year, annual trade deficit. Let me put it in another way for you. $1 trillion, almost, of your money and my money is going out the door to foreign countries because of these trade deals, because America was put last intentionally in the deal, not first. It's almost as if those Americans of the progressive age of the early 1900s, Woodrow Wilson, etc., have morphed into progressives which believe that, gee, this idea of globalization with America as the global norm ain't going to work. There's too much a diversity. Remember that word? You hear that all the time. Diversity, diversity, diversity. Diversity, folks, is a mask. It is a mask for the dilution of language, culture, education, economy, trade, finance, currency, and communication. You are told diversity is good. And you know what? There are some great things about diversity. Fascinating things about diversity. But not when it is brought to the extreme of the subversion of the rest of your culture and your values, or the dilution of your essence. They called the globalists who wanted globalism with America as the global norm, in other words, kind of the planet with a big old America with its arms wrapped all the way around it and everybody grinning from all ends. They called that Pax Americana back then. PAX Americana. Peace American style, to translate. You are familiar with the global institutions because to get all this done, language, culture, education, economy, trade, finance, currency, communication. Communication, of course, is obviously with social networks and the internet. I mean, they're 90% of the way there now. Why do you think Barack Obama basically turned over the internet, developed by us, run by us, domain names controlled by the United States? Why do you think he basically turned that over to international forces just a week and a half ago? Not all of it, but a significant part of it. Because it won't do for America to control the communication of this global society. No, the global society must control the communication of the global society. Free speech and the First Amendment of America be damned. So these global organizations that have been put in place, and you've been fed the line to create stability and to create fair economic climates and to referee world trade and to promote world peace and to save lives and promote world humanitarian, all that crap. It's crap. That's not why these outfits have been created whatsoever. These outfits have been created because they are the beginnings of the structure of a global government. Let me run off some names for you. You've heard of them. IMF, the International Monetary Fund, United Nations, the World Bank, the European Union. I can go on, but, you know, I think you have the feel, shall we say. These outfits are all about global governance. They are all about globalism. They are all about globalization of everything. Did you know that on September 30th, and I've been talking about this for years, the renminbi, or the yuan as it's called, the Chinese currency, was admitted to the basket of currencies which creates the SDR, Special Drawing Right. and I've talked about this on previous shows, the special drawing right is the spawn, if you will, of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. It is the currency, the global currency, that they want to replace the dollar with, folks. The SDR is valued based on a basket of currencies, which now includes five nations, which now, as of September 30th, includes China. And the SDR is meant to replace the dollar. And eventually, because of the debt which has been purposely run up in this country to weaken its economic fabric and to weaken its sovereign currency, and for all the other reasons which I've touched on only briefly today, trade, etc., etc., eventually it will replace the dollar. And when that happens, our standard of living will go down 25% at least overnight. Other things will happen too. I've talked about it on previous shows. So that is today's Globalism 101. I'm going to get into some details. I happen to find it fascinating because this is three-dimensional chess that is being played with our lives and the lives of our children and our children's children. And it leads me into my next segment, which is Trump and Hillary. Because Miss Hillary is a progressive globalist and Mr. Trump is a populist nationalist. Forget the Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Forget all that crap. It's a much bigger war going on here. It is why the globalist media, the globalist educational establishment, the globalist entertainment establishment, the globalist elites in governments here and around the world are so anti-Trump. Because he petrifies them. He could get in there and in 4 years take apart 30 years of their carefully planned, carefully orchestrated fishbowl of lies and misdeeds, which they have cobbled together to move us toward a globalistic path. If Hillary gets in there, the move to global society will be accelerated. The foundation for that acceleration built by Barack Obama and, to a lesser extent, by George Bush and Bill Clinton and Senior Bush. That is what's going on. And I find it remarkable. You know, I've talked last week, listen to last week's show, please, about Trump just, you know, I mean, might as well cut off his own head with these tweets and his ridiculous debate performance. You know, I sent my entire radio show to the Trump organization, Trump campaign, in about 9 different formats, and hopefully somebody listened. I'm sure they got millions of comments and millions of suggestions. Maybe one or two of mine will be used. Maybe they never even saw it. I don't know. I did what I could. So yesterday, WikiLeaks releases the transcripts of Hillary's secret speeches to Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, you know, all the big banks, you name it. And lo and behold, what do we find? We find that Hillary Clinton wants open borders. Number one, Hillary Clinton admits in these speeches, I mean, outright admits, that she says one thing in public but another thing in private. That she says what she needs to do to get elected so that the views she expounds in private she can implement. Because if she's not elected, she can't implement them. It may explain why the globalists on Wall Street give all their money to Hillary, even though, on the campaign trail, Hillary does nothing but blast Wall Street. It may also explain why Hillary says she's a friend of the Second Amendment and just wants to tweak things for the safety of the people, but in private talks about completely disarming Americans. It may be that this is why Hillary talks about common sense immigration reform in public and in private promotes open borders. Scurrilous, treasonous, disgustingly deceptive, but that's what she is. That's what progressives are. That's what progressive globalists are. Trump, on the other hand, after seeming to regain his footing after his incredible faux pas of the last week, I mean, just please, how brain dead can you be? Hey, Mr. Trump, it's not about you, it's about us. You keep telling us that, show us. And I've been a Trump supporter since day one, folks. Just because of this globalist versus national sovereignty issue. Not because I think he's the cat's meow. As far as I'm concerned, if Donald Trump can get elected and he can build the wall, change the tax structure, rebuild the military, eliminate ISIS, and turn education back to the states while at the same time dismantling half of the federal government and starting to pay down our debt through job creation, etc. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Trump can play golf, run around with women, say lewd things. I don't really care what he does with the rest of his time. If he can just get those things done, he'll be my hero. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday night. We shall see. I would put the odds 50-50 that Trump will have a great night, or that Trump will, unable to contain himself, get sucked down into the egotistical wormhole he found himself during and immediately after the last debate. I don't know. If he does a good job, I think he will win the election. If he does a bad job, I think he won't. And as you know, I've been, since the beginning, saying that he will win. But last week was rocky, to put it mildly. And he's not going to get any help from the media. They're going to ask Hillary one question, maybe, about the WikiLeaks leak, which would have been devastating in any other circumstance. And they're going to dwell on Trump's tweets to, you know, Miss Whoever Universe, and his lewd mic on, not knowing comments in a closed trailer a decade plus ago to a fellow snorting male. And they're going to try and make it a big deal. Now, what he said about females in that locker room exchange that he didn't know anybody was listening to, that just came out. You know, not smart, right? On the other hand, folks, we're all kind of adults, aren't we? Now, you know, I'm a guy. I've had, probably not quite that guttural, but I've had plenty of discussions with my male friends over women. And you know what, gals? All you gals listening to me and shaking your head at what Mr. Trump said 10 years ago, not knowing anybody was listening, trying to be cool with his buddy. I've sat in restaurants with a table full of women next to me having a birthday party or whatever, and I've overheard their conversations about men. So don't you go telling me that this is just a one-way street. I mean, I've heard things out of women about men and their anatomies and what they'd like to do to them and all sorts of things, which literally, I got to tell you, kind of surprised the hell out of me. I mean, in some ways, women can be more coarse than men, which is, given some of the conversations I've heard between men, almost amazing. And you know what? Doesn't have a damn thing to do with your job, ISIS, nuclear war with Russia, how much you pay in taxes, what you pay for fuel, whether or not your kids are being properly educated, and whether or not you keep your freedoms. Not a damn thing to do with it. I want you to think about that. Last but not least, because it all ties in, because understand the progressive globalists will do anything and everything. Saul Alinsky, you know, the Handbook for Radicals, the deviously brilliant father of the attack dogma of Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Harry Reid, and Hillary Clinton, who wrote her college thesis on him, huge admirer she was of him. They don't care how they win an election. They need the power to get their agenda done, and if they get their agenda done, they'll maintain their power. You understand the circle. So it has come to light in the last week that in Virginia, Nevada, and about a half a dozen other states, definitely, positively, without a doubt, illegal aliens are registering to vote and voting in the early voting so they don't have to show up at a polling place and be questioned, be scrutinized, sign in, show ID. Without a doubt, it is happening. Look at the Hillary Clinton campaign using the hurricane to try and elongate both registration and early voting times in Florida. There are now documented instances of 20 states being subject to a variety of scamming activities and hacks and attempted hacks into their voter registration systems over the last several months. In fact, this article just came out October 5th. Check the New York Daily News for the details. Google it up. Two states, they happen to be swing states, including Arizona, have been hacked. Not only their voter registration systems, but their electronic ballot boxes. Do you remember George Soros giving millions of dollars and just a few weeks ago proclaiming that all voting systems should go electronic and digital? Do you think there's any correlation between this? You think there's any correlation between Hillary Clinton wanting to extend voter registration by mail? And by the way, if you register to vote by mail, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Did you know that? All you have to do is check a box saying, I certify that I'm a U.S. citizen. That's it. And if you register to vote in that way and you vote with an early ballot based on that registration, you don't have to show up at any polling place, demonstrate that you don't speak English, exhibit characteristics that would tell a poll watcher that obviously you haven't been in the country for more than 2 months, or come up with a picture ID, you just send in your early voting ballot. The Democrats are hoping that 40% of their vote comes from early ballots in this election. I wonder why. So in addition to all these other political things happening, we need to be concerned about one of our basic civil rights. I mean, everybody talks about civil rights and social justice. How about this? My vote counts. It counts all by itself. It doesn't get canceled out by an illegal vote, by an illegal alien, or by a convicted felon, or by somebody else who, under the law, is not qualified to vote in the United States of America. I am an American. I am a citizen. My vote counts. But not to the progressive globalists. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Next week, I have quite a show for you, too. More on globalism, some specifics which will make your hair curl and, I think, frighten the hell out of you, and more on voter fraud and what you can do to identify it and eliminate it, because it's important. Never mind this election. It's critical for this election. It's important to our nation and important to you. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week, folks.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.